السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، after the witr salah, with the accompanation of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mullah Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, certain aspects were read out. This kitab reading that we have, all these incidents and these waqiyas and these stories that are written and that are read, as was mentioned in the kitab also, two things. One, that it's not something that we should doubt or something that we should think that how is this possible. That is sometimes due to our laziness or our commitments, our type of lifestyle, we think that these things are not possible to be achieved. But the reality is that even, I'm not talking of ages ago, but in our time, as early as maybe last year, or the year before, there was that one place the Quran and Majeed was started in Salah, after Isha Salah, after Taraweeh, or rather in Taraweeh, after Isha Salah, the Taraweeh started, and by Fajr time, just Sehri time, by the end of Sehri, the sufficient time that was left to have some water and maybe something, khajur or dates for Sehri, the entire Quran and Majeed was completed in Salah. And not by people of ages, of bygone ages, people like us that eat the same food that you and I eat, the same type of savouries that you and I eat. So where do they get the strength from? How is it possible for them to achieve that? And we cannot achieve it. So it is a matter of determination. When a person wants to do something, just as in our worldly pursuits, although something may seem very difficult, but when the person is focused and he's got determination, the person achieves things which outwardly sometimes seem impossible to achieve. The same applies to even our inner selves, our spiritual selves. Sometimes when we look at people of this caliber that we have heard of, or that was read out just now, that 60 khatams in the month of Ramadan Mubarak, or they stood whole night in the worship of Allah Ta'ala, or just a portion of the night they slept and the balance of the night they spent in Ibadah, then you think that how is it possible? Who was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Khalifa of the time? Hazrat Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we say, and we use work as our excuse. Did these people not have work? Did they not have responsibilities? And what type of responsibilities did they have? They didn't have responsibilities or checking over 10 or 15 staff or just a few household members. But their responsibility was the entire ummah. And what type of responsibility they had? How did they fulfill those responsibilities? We know, we've heard, we've read. And in spite of all that, this was the condition of their ibadat. That during the day, they engaged in serving the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when night came, they waited for those moments where they could communicate with Allah Ta'ala, where they could talk to Allah Ta'ala, where they could stand before Allah Ta'ala, and where they could cry before Allah Ta'ala. They actually cherished those moments, and they waited for those moments to come so that they could communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us also remember that this condition is not only restricted to males, even from the females. We find in the Sahabiyat, and even from those from the time of the Tabi'een, if you look at Rabi'a Basriya and others, what type of ibadah they engaged in. Women folk, they engage in ibadat. Then when we read of it, when we hear of it, and then our minds don't work, that how women could also engage in that type of ibadat. So it is because of that attachment and because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is in the heart, so we find that that love makes everything easy. When a person in this worldly thing, we find, when we talk of love, generally we think of maybe the opposite sexes, we have love for each other. But sometimes we have that love and we have attachment for our worldly belongings, for our businesses, for our vehicles, for our homes. Now how often doesn't it happen that when we are engrossed and engaged in some business activity, and then hours will go by and we won't even think of our meals, we won't even think of our family, we won't even think of other things. Why? Because of that attachment that we have to this worldly, these worldly things that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. So much of attachment that we forget everything else, we even forget our eating. To the extent the person even suppresses his own desires of going, answering the call of nature and all, why? Because this is more important to him. Now these people, whom we've heard of just now, their priorities were different. Their priorities were different. And therefore we find where on the one hand they excelled as far as worldly things are concerned. Whether if you look at Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he was a very, very successful trader. And we find others also, as Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, look at the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. But with all that, the type of ibadat that they engaged in, this was because of that love that they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closeness that they had with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them to engage in these types of ibadat. Therefore when we hear of these types of things, then we should not think that these things are impossible. Yes, at the same time, we, the weaker ones of this ummah, When we hear of these things, there should be an aspiration that comes in the heart. To Allah, how nice if you gave me also that type of ability to engage in this type of ibadat. Although we know that we cannot achieve it, we are extremely weak. But what stops us from having an aspiration? When we see our worldly things and worldly possessions, somebody's got a good vehicle, or somebody's got a flourishing business, somebody's got a good home and a palatial home or whatever, we see some namats of the world someone is blessed with, isn't there an aspiration that comes in the heart that, listen, you know, how nice if I owned a vehicle like this, or I owned a business like this, or that I owned a home like this. There's a desire that comes in the heart for those things that the person has. So similarly, when it comes to our dini matters, we very conveniently just say, listen, I can't do it, I can't achieve it. Fair enough, we can't achieve it, but the desire to achieve that, at least have that desire. Around us we see so many people, Allah Ta'ala has given them that type of tawfiq and hidayat and energy and strength, that they spend the days in ibadat, they spend the nights in ibadat, Allah Ta'ala has kept them protected from the gunas that we normally engage in. Now when we see these types of people, or when we meet these types of people, or when we see the Ahlullah, when we see those people who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one is show love for them, and on the other hand also aspire that, Ya Allah, how nice if you also made me like him. Now remember this aspiration, just the aspiration that we have to do something, that also is in the court of Allah Ta'ala, it is appreciated. There was one person, and he was a normal working type of a person. And every morning he had to go because he had a family, he had to feed his family, he had to earn halal risk for his family. So of course, just like we are normal working type of people. So in the morning he used to go, he used to earn his halal livelihood. By the time he used to come home at night, he's tired, he's exhausted. So the only thing that he could do thereafter in order to be fresh for the next day so that he could go and earn for his family is that rest and get up in the morning. Of course, Salatul Fajr, and then after that go to work. But then he had a neighbor of his. That neighbor of his, he used to go on his rooftop, like how we have balconies or we have slabs. So because of heat, find presently to in places like India and Pakistan and these types of places, find they do have these rooftops, and then in summer they go onto the rooftops and they sit there for the coolness and whatever because it gets very hot inside. So this person's neighbor, he used to go onto his rooftop. And there what he used to do, not relax and sit and enjoy the fresh air, but rather he would go on top and engage in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because if those of us that have been to these types of places, we would find that we would have observed that the houses or the homes are attached to each other. So sometimes you would even hear voices carrying over from one into the other. So this person being on his rooftop and making tilawat of the Quran and Majid, so that the voice of the reciter used to filter and come through to this person's house, and he used to listen to the Quran and Majid being recited. So we are talking of aspiration. So it so happened that this person, after some time, the neighbor, this person who used to go to work every morning and couldn't make ibadat, he passed away. And of course the person that used to recite the Quran and Majid, he also passed away. Some pious person saw both of them in the dream. And to his amazement, surprise, he sees that the neighbor who was an ordinary worker, he sees his rank higher in the Akhirah than the person who was reciting the Quran and Majid and who was making ibadat. So this surprised him. And so he asked him, that, listen, how is it that you have got a higher rank than this person who used to actually make the ibadat and who actually used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand, cry before Allah ta'ala? So he said, no doubt that this is how this person was, that he used to recite Quran and Majid all night, he used to cry and everything else, he used to engage in ibadat. But he said that when I used to hear that the voice, his voice coming, filtering through, and when I used to hear the recitation of the Quran and Majid, then there used to be a thought that used to come to mind, and I used to make this dua to Allah Ta'ala and communicate to Allah Ta'ala and say to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, if you only gave me that opportunity like you have given this person here, where he has got no responsibilities and he can conveniently come and spend the whole night in ibadat, and in the morning he's got no responsibilities to earn for his little children, infant children, and he hasn't got anything to earn for his, any responsibility to earn for his. Oh Allah, you have made him farigh and free from all those responsibilities. That is why this person is able to make that type of ibadat. Oh Allah, if you had given me that type of opportunity, I would have excelled and I would have did more ibadat than what this person is doing. So it is just on this niyat of mine and this communication of mine with my Creator that was appreciated in the court of Allah Ta'ala, and that Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with this ring. Now this is just that aspiration. So therefore we should not falter, or we should not shy away from this. That okay, sometimes we know we are unable to do many things, but have that aspiration. We hear the Quran and Majid being recited. I mean, many of us are unable to read the Quran Sharif correctly with tajweed for whatever reason. In our past we didn't have the opportunity or whatever. But have that aspiration that, Ya Allah, make me also a reciter of the Qur'an and Majid. Make me a good reciter of the Qur'an and Majid. Who knows the sincere intention that the person has, and the sincerity in his intention, that in itself Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either makes that a means for this person to learn the Qur'an and Majid, or if that person is not able to achieve that during his lifetime, whatever reason, then in the akhirat Allah ta'ala makes his hashar and lets him stand up with those who recited the Qur'an and Majid correctly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah ta'ala, rahmat-e khuda bahana mein jo, in the court of Allah ta'ala, we find that there is always a reason, some excuse to find, some excuse is found to forgive the person. Some excuse or the other. The slightest thing, Allah ta'ala forgives. Allah ta'ala rewards. Allah ta'ala gives. So therefore we need to make use of these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding this and making use of these types of opportunities that Allah ta'ala. And this doesn't cost us anything. What it's just that sincerity. There's so many things that we can do just with our niyat, just with our thinking. The ability that Allah ta'ala has given us is so much that we can achieve. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of achieving these types of things. When we hear these types of things, or when we hear of our pious predecessors, then at least let that aspiration come into our hearts, or that feeling, that desire, Ya Allah, you give me the tawfiq also to be like this, or to make amal like this, or to engage in ibadat like this. Whether we can do it or not, that is, who knows, Allah ta'ala just gives someone the tawfiq because of the person's sincerity. There's so many times you see that sometimes a dua is made and outwardly the person doesn't see the means to the acceptance of the dua, for the person to engage in that type of an action. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the person's dua. And sometimes we must also remember that the result of when a person engages in something, when a person achieves something, then he shouldn't think that this is my achievement. Shouldn't think that this is my achievement. Sometimes you will observe that it is the result of the dua of someone else that this person is whatever he is. Like we sometimes say that, we see the beautiful building and it's a tall building, but nobody sees the foundation. That building could only go up if the foundation was there, and it will stand. But if the foundation, if there is no foundation, or if the foundation is very weak, then you know what will happen to such a type of building. So many a time we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to, like for instance, a child is becoming hafiz, a child is suddenly proud and says, I'm becoming hafiz. But that child or that youngster should ask himself that, I am becoming hafiz, it is someone's dua. And it is a result of someone's dua and someone's tawajjuh that I am becoming a hafiz. There's so many times that we find that sometimes in the history of Darul Ulum Deoband, which is a world famous institute, the founder of Qasim Sahib Nanutvi Rahmatullah Ali. So when this Darul Ulum was built and all that, but the person that made dua for that, he said, do you know that whose tears were there in order for this to come into existence? And that was the people in the caliber of Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Shaykh of Hazrat Qasim Sahib Nanutvi. These were the people that made dua, and they cried. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave someone else a tawfiq, and Allah ta'ala made someone else a means for these things to come up. But it is the du'as of someone else. So many a time we find our achievements in this world, don't attribute it to ourselves. Never attribute anything to ourselves. Whatever Allah ta'ala gives tawfiq to do, whether it is our ibadat. I think I may have mentioned a few days ago, sometimes certain things, the understanding of that comes after some time to us. We don't understand. Sometimes it is because we are still immature. We don't understand things. I think I mentioned it the other day also, that after Umrah I happened to go to Jalalabad, and Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was my first Shaykh, he was alive at that time. So I went to Jalalabad. So I requested Hazrat Abdullah Ali to make dua for the acceptance of the Umrah. So Hazrat Abdullah Ali, he posed a few questions. That who took you for Umrah? So I said, Allah Ta'ala made it possible to go. And who will give you the tawfiq, or who give you the strength to make the tawaf and to make the Umrah itself? So few questions that he asked, and of course the answer to each one was Allah Ta'ala gave the tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala, everything was Allah, everything. So then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali told me that when everything Allah Ta'ala made you do, then why have any doubt in the acceptance of that Amal? Why have any doubt in the acceptance of that Amal, that Allah Ta'ala is it? Well, that time it was just today we understood. That okay, Hazrat is telling us something that Allah Ta'ala will accept also, because you asked Allah Ta'ala for acceptance of the dua. So Allah Ta'ala, I was just telling someone that you see, the way of tarbiyat of these mashayikh is very different. Sometimes we don't understand. We have to be alert. We have to have that type of understanding that there's some message that is being portrayed to me here. At that time and up to now, up to recently too, I didn't understand this thing. But this is the karam and fazal of Allah Ta'ala, that maybe a few days ago or whatever it was, Allah Ta'ala put some understanding into that, what message and what lesson was taught to me at that occasion. It was a very, very important message and very important lesson that was portrayed. Of course, Allah Ta'ala put it to mind after years, maybe 30 years or whatever, that listen, this is what the saint and this wali of Allah Ta'ala was teaching you, but you didn't have the ability to understand. Of course, now we haven't understood, therefore after so many years, only part of it we've understood. So what in-depth there must be in these people's knowledge, what type of knowledge Allah Ta'ala must have blessed them. Now see, just in one statement, in few questions and in a statement, what a great lesson he is teaching. And what was that lesson? When I think that, you know, he asked me this question and then that question, that who made you do this, who made you do this, who made you do this, and then at the end saying that why have doubt, the lesson that you're being taught is that every action of yours attributed to Allah Ta'ala. He is posing it in the form of a question that who made you do it? What is he trying to tell you? Okay, if you left home, don't say that you left, that you went on your own. There's someone that made it possible for you to go. If that being didn't make it possible for you to go, then you wouldn't have gone. Now, every aspect, whether it is the travelling itself, or whether it is the strength that Allah Ta'ala gave you, that too, the ability, the mind, you are going to the airport or whatever, you got to be in your correct senses, otherwise how are you going to be travelling? And the strength to have, and the wealth and everything else. So everything has been provided by Allah Ta'ala, so attribute everything to Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, one great and pious person, this we heard from our Shaykh Al-Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and also from his Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, whether it was Hazrat Mawlana Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his Shaykh, he says that, you know, when I eat ordinary dal, ordinary food, we call it bhaji or whatever, beans, whatever, you know, something that is regarded as a simple dish. You say, but when I eat that dish, when I eat that food, then I get the taste of biryani in it. When I eat that simple food, I get the taste of biryani in it. Someone asked him, Hazrat, how is this possible that you're eating beans or you're eating some bhaji or something of that nature and you're getting the taste of biryani in it? So he said, well, the reason for that is this, that when I'm eating that food, I think that who has provided this food for me, number one. And also this hand which is able to take that food to my mouth, who has put strength in that hand to lift, to take that morsel of food and put it to my mouth? And who is it that has given the ability for me to chew that food and then to take it down and then for it to be digested? Who is the being? There is some being that is allowing me to do all that. So when I am thinking, I am contemplating that all this my Allah is making me do. My Allah is making me. Now look at those people who are paralyzed. those people that are paralyzed, are they able to take food to their mouth with their own hands? Some people, of course, we see beyond that, they are fed through tubes. Now look at this, the person is saying that in this simple food that I am eating, I am getting the taste of biryani, because I am that time contemplating that this food, it is my Allah sent, Allah has provided this food for me, He has given me the ability, He has given the strength in my hand, He hasn't paralyzed me, it is He who is making the food digest everything, everything is happening, and therefore in the simple food I am getting the taste of biryani. And today in our biryani we don't get the taste of simple food, because this contemplation is not there. In a biryani, if the little salt is little, then we begin complaining. Or this is the, we begin complaining. Even in the biryani that we have, we don't get the taste of the ordinary and simple food. This is because of that reason. So, however, attribute everything. This is the lesson that we learned. Just on Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, there's something that came to mind. I was in Jalalabad. So generally when we go to these mashayikh, it is for islah. Islah is the rectification of the heart, you know, our spiritual selves and also our a'mal. So I was there, and on one occasion, normally after Zuhr, there used to be tea that used to be served at Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi's Dasar Khan. So few people were asked by Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali to join in the tea. And because I was there with the family, so Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali instructed me that you must also come and have tea. So there used to be a small dasarkhan that used to be spread. And on the dasarkhan there used to be some tea or whatever, some biscuits or something that you... On one occasion, someone brought some khajur from Madina Tayyiba for Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali and gave it to him as a gift. So there was one khadim there was one person that was staying in the service of Hazrat Abdullah Ali. So on that particular afternoon, what he did is he took that khajur, that date that was brought specifically for Hazrat Abdullah Ali, and brought it and put it there on the dasarkhan. So Hazrat Abdullah Ali came, he sat on the dasarkhan, and I was seated there as well. So now, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he's looking at me and he's addressing me, and he's mentioning that when something is given to someone specifically, then it should not be put onto the dasarkhan without the person's permission. This khajur, these dates were given to me as a hadiya. Now this is ta'lim, it is education. That when it is given to me specifically, you should have asked before putting it onto the dasarkhan. So that is the education. But now he's looking at me. Now remember, there's people all around there, and he's addressing me. Now, if I'm talking to Yusuf, for instance, now if I tell that, everyone will think that no, Yusuf did this wrong, or Yusuf did. Now I'm sitting there, and Hazrat is addressing me. Now, you know, we were young those days also, just, you know, early 20s or whatever it was. So you know that that time when a person is of that age and what his mizaj, immediately you get upset and you want to say, you know, I didn't do it, maybe someone else. But it was the fadl of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy. Allah Ta'ala made me just zip my mouth, I didn't speak anything, I just kept quiet, I just put my head down. And I didn't even mention to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali the day after that, listen, someone asked, did he do anything? The point I want to get to is that, okay, now for those of us that have heard this incident, we immediately, sometime our mind will go to this, but then how could Hazrat just tell me directly, why did he ask me first, did you put it on the dasarkhan? That question can come up to many of us, that a person of that caliber, a wali of Allah Ta'ala, this is a type of Allah, for this is a type of an accusation, why is he telling me directly? We were gone there for islah, so there's no questions. It is like the blind whose hand is in the hand of the person with sight. He is taking you anywhere, you just go. So when we, that is why they say the example that is given, it is murda badaste zinda. It is when we give our hands into the hands of a shaykh or into a person with sight who's going to direct us, then you don't question after that. Then it, as long as you know that the doctor you have gone to, this is not, you know, a horse doctor as we call it, or the person, there was one hakim that used to go past the Qabrastan. So every time he used to go past the Qabrastan, he used to put his head down. So somebody asked him, the hakim sahab, you know, if you notice every time you're going past this Qabrastan, you put your head down. Why is you put your head down every time you go past? So first he didn't answer. I said, no, but you know, you're contemplating, you're making some zikr or making some isade sawab or something. Say, no, I'm feeling ashamed because many of those that are lying are because of my medication, you know, incorrect medication that I gave, they all landed. So when it comes to our spirituality, just as when we go to the doctor, right, and he gives us medication, he gives us some tablet, you don't ask him, listen, why you gave me this one, why didn't you give me the other one? Yes, maybe a child will ask you, why you gave me the yellow one, why didn't you give me the, you know, there was once in Jalalabad, one ustad there was sick. He had some flu or fever or something. So there were some South African students there. And some, like, you get mischievous students as well. So they say, Hazrat, bahut bimar hai aaj. So the one of them said, Hazrat, mere paas kuch dawa hai, kuch goliya hai, mile aata hoon, I've got some tablets, I'll bring it for you. Say, Anzuru Mirat, Dimabod, say, my head is paining, you know, feverish and all that. So the person went, and then he had two, three colors. He had a blue one, then a brown one, and red one. He said, take this now, take this in the morning, take this. He gave him that. All the other, this other South African students, they're laughing because he gave him smarties. So, but you know, you must also remember that sometimes it is psychological. It is psychological. A person will take that and he'll feel better. It is also psychological. Well, I know we had one student here one time. His uncle was a doctor. So you know, like how we get women morning sickness and that, you know. So sometimes we get that type of sickness, you know, in the children that come new to madrasa, you know. Stomach is paining and head is paining and this is paining. So this youngster was taken to his uncle because, you know, this is paining. So he did a check and all that. So he told his nurse that was there. He said, give him ADT. You know, at that time, we didn't understand. I won't mention what the D stands for. I said, give him anything. I said, Panado, just give him something because he's not sick. Just give him anything and send him away. So however, we're getting to this point that when we go on this route of spiritual cleanliness, and when we give our hands into the hands of someone, then we don't question the person. That why, now to this extent, sometimes we will find that in, like for instance, we have some relationship with some alim or some shaykh of that nature, and we have a marital problem for argument's sake. We have a marital problem. I have got taluk with my shaykh, and I have a marital problem. And maybe the spouse has complained to my shaykh about something. Now the shaykh makes a decision was against me in favor of the spouse without even consulting me, without even asking me that, listen, this is a complaint that has come. Did something like this happen or not? He passes a judgment in her favor and says, okay, listen, you must do this or do that. Now, I don't have that right, because this is my shaykh, to ask him, listen, why did you do this? Because especially if it is one that has got wisdom, and the person whom we have given our hands into, that person we know that we've judged the person, we've tested him out, or we've heard him out, everything, and we know we've got trust and confidence in this person, then this which he has did now, there could be my islah in that, and my rectification in that. In this could be a way that he's bringing me down, or he's treating it in some way or the other. So therefore, in many a things like this, we will find that sometimes some decisions have been made, or something has been told, but we don't understand it at that time. Later on, we understand the wisdom behind it. However, so when Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali did this, at that time I didn't understand anything. But many years later, that was maybe a recent few years ago or something, there's something that came to mind. And I said, okay, this is what Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was observing. There was an incident that many of us may have heard when we discuss these things about tasawwuf, and that when people become bay'at to a shaykh, then there's some type of test that the person is put through to make out the sincerity of the person, that does this person really desire his spiritual upliftment, and is he committed, or is he just a fly by night? In other words, it can get a little difficult, or some difficulty that befalls him, I give him some difficult prescription, he's going to run away from here. So there's some type of testing. So we heard of this incident of one great shaykh of his time, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali was a contemporary of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali, and a very great alim, very great alim. He was a mufti, he was a great faqih. He became bay'at at the hands of Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. So, on one occasion, it was meals time. So, you know, like how a beggar is given food, you know, you just take some curry or something and just put it on the bread and give it, okay, take it and go. So, on dry roti, some, you know, this bhaji or something of that nature was taken and given to this great alim by the Shaykh, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, gave him that and gave it to him on his hand, not even in a plate, and said, "You eat this." Now imagine, such a great alim, and he's been given food to eat like this. So someone that was seated there, it was Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's colleague. So he said, "You know, you're giving him food like that, you know, call him closer." So then Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali just told him, he said, "Even for him to sit here is a blessing for him. For me to keep him here." Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali himself was not a qualified alim in that sense. But however, here there's a person that is a qualified alim, and not an ordinary alim, but an alim of that caliber was regarded as a faqih. So Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is mentioning to his colleague, he says that even for us just to make him sit here, just allow him permission to sit here, that also is ghanimat for him, that also is an honor for him. And in the meantime, what is happening is Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, with a corner of his eyes, is observing the expression on this person's face. What is observing? The expression on this alim's face, that is his expression changing? Is he becoming angry? Is he becoming irritated? And Hazrat, when he observed that the person was in the same condition, and he said, "No doubt that for me just to sit here, this too is a great ni'mat for me. Even whatever form, even if I didn't get anything, if I'm given something like this, this too is a ni'mat and bounty of Allah Ta'ala. It is coming from the hands of my Shaykh." When Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali observed that, he said, "Okay, you've passed the test. You've passed the test." No comments, no facial expression change. I'm feeling, you know, you can see a person's expression on the face. A person is angry, a person is happy. And especially these Ahlullah, they are very, very sensitive. They're extremely sensitive. From the face of Hazrat, in the court of Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when people used to come, the person came for the first time, and in the first meeting with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, they would sit and observing the person, just see his behavior, his speech, would size him up that these are this person's spiritual weaknesses. And generally Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's assessment was correct. Now that is because of the years of experience that he had. So however, Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is observing the experience. Now sometimes we have a student, you're scolding the student, you're seeing the expression, oh, a father and son. And the father is telling the son. Now the son sometimes will keep quiet, but the expression on his face is such that he's angry, you know, he can do anything, but not just because it's my father I'm keeping quiet. But on the other hand, there is a son that has got remorse and is putting, you can see the expression on the face is different. That is why I told someone recently, some time ago, I said, you know, sometimes children or students in madrasa also, you'll find sometimes they don't know their sabak or something, they will cry. So I shared this with my sons on one occasion. I said, you know, this crying also is of two types. One is crocodile tears and one is genuine tears. So how do you make out crocodile tears and genuine tears? So I said, no, with the experience you make that out also. Because when the child cries sincerely, there's a type of pain that the child experiences. You know, there's an inner pain. And you can see it, that you know there's something that is troubling this child. And oh, he's really got regret, or he's feeling hurt about the fact that I've made so much of effort in my learning. And still too, I didn't make it there. I spent the night, I spent my weekend, I made dua, I tried everything, I did whatever my ustad said, and then too I couldn't make it. There is that pain, and when that crying that comes out with pain, it's a different expression. Compared to that, you find sometimes it is not even real, true and actual tears, but it may be some, you know, saliva that is on this thing, just to show the ustad that, listen, I'm crying. So however, this expression on the face, it tells many things. You can tell, listen, the person is happy, the person is sad, the person is agitated, the person is getting angry, or the person is calm. So Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, his condition remained the same. There was no, you know, like some people, their ears start getting red, you know. And some people, you find that their temples, you find the seeds start budging out. So now, nothing of that nature. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi says, okay, now you've passed this test. Many years later, after this incident happened of Jalalabad, and when I heard these few incidents of this nature, came to my mind that why Hazrat must have, you know, he spoken to me and addressed me directly, that to see whether what this fellow is, whether he's responding to me, whether he's disrespectful, whether he's got that Jalal in him, whether he's got that anger in him, whether he's keeping quiet. But years later, now see, sometimes, you know, we are immature, so we don't understand. Sometimes that is why we say we don't, you know, sometimes just make a decision on what we see. Sometimes we will see something and say, hey, listen, this doesn't seem right. But we don't make decisions at that time. At that time, this thought could have come to mind, why is Hazrat telling me this? But if we question that time, what could have happened? We would have failed. We thank Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala gave the tawfiq that time. It was just Allah Ta'ala satari that Allah Ta'ala saved us at that time. We're not saying anything, we're not questioning, we're not telling anything, we're not being disrespectful. But see, if something like that happened, then what would have been? And especially when one is disrespectful to the awliya Allah, then the person can deprive himself of much good. So therefore, these types of things we need to understand. And this month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, you know, this is that a spiritual upliftment. And that heart that Allah ta'ala has given us, it's all to do with the heart that Allah ta'ala has, we have made, as we discussed yesterday also, the ruh, the soul, and the heart, and of course the body. So this heart that Allah ta'ala has given us, that is what we need to rectify. And this heart has its own weaknesses. Now how do we recognize that the heart, there's a weakness in the heart, or we are spiritually sick? Now different people may say different things as far as the spiritual heart being affected, or it being sick, or it being polluted, or whatever. But we need to go to those that are specialists in this field and see what signs they tell us to, in order for us to know whether we've got a heart that is a healthy heart, spiritual, or whether it is a heart that is contaminated and that has got, that is sick, or that may be dead also. So there's one tabi'i, a great tabi'i, Hasan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala. a very high ranking tabi'i, he is that tabi'i, who is that person who has seen the Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. He is that tabi'i whose tahniq Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made when he was born. Umar radiallahu, you know, like how we have the khajur that is chewed and then put into the child's mouth. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi's tahniq, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu kept his name. It's Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, a very great about 100 and some plus sahaba-i kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in he has met. So Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, he shows us the signs of a heart that is sick spiritually. Now we need to think about this, because sometimes like we will just think if a person is not reading salah, if a person is, then that person has got a heart that is now needs attention, or is sick spiritually, or is not keeping rosas, or is lying and backbiting and things like that. So now this person is, but see what he says. The one sign that Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi mentions, he says, the one sign of a defective and a sick, spiritually sick heart, is it that the person commits guna on the hope of making tawbah in the future. The person makes guna now in the hope of making tawbah in the future. I mean, let me make this guna now, inshallah, tomorrow or the day after, or when I get little more older, then I will make my tawbah. So now this, Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi mentions, this is a sign of a defective heart. There's something wrong with that heart. Very briefly we will just go through this. If Allah Ta'ala will, some other time we will give some more explanation. The second sign that Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi mentions is something that I need to be very, very concerned about, scared about, and all of us. We all have knowledge regarding so many aspects of deen, whether it is regarding our salah, whether it is regarding our soam, whether it is regarding backbiting. So many things we have knowledge about. We can't say we don't have knowledge about the major aspects of our deen. Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi mentions that the second sign of a defective or a spiritually ill heart is this, yata'allamun wa la ya'malun. The person or people will have knowledge, but their amal and the practice will not be in accordance to the knowledge that they have. Now, how many of us don't know that just making ghibat is haram, but still what we will do, we will make ghibat. But like that, so many other things in our life, whether deceiving, cheating, different aspects, different types of gunas, whether it is related to the eyes or ears or tongue or hands or feet or mind and heart, whatever. There's so many gunas. We know that this is incorrect, but still we indulge in that. So this is a sign of a defective heart. The third one goes little beyond, and he says that yamalun wala yukhlisun, that people will make amal, they will practice, we will keep our rozas, we'll perform our salah, we will give charity, we will recite the Quran and Majid, we will perform salah, we will perform tarawih and recite the Quran and Majid very well, ya'malun, but there will be no ikhlas in it. It will be void of ikhlas and sincerity. I'm reading in the tarawih, I'm reading so that the people may praise me, I'm reading for the praises of the people, or I'm making charity so that the people may praise me, or whatever. But the niyat is not correct, the ikhlas is not there, sincerity is not there. That is also a sign of a defective heart. And that is the third. Then Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi mentions one thing, and he says that the one sign is yudfinun wala ya'tabirun. Yudfinun wala ya'tabirun. That we will bury our dead, but there won't be any lesson that we will take from that. We will go to the Qabrastan. We will go to the Qabrastan. But it is, unfortunately, even in the Qabrastan, our worldly talks will continue, not realizing that the person that is there is telling us that, Shukriya qabr tak uthane walo shukriya. Shukriya qabr tak uthane walo shukriya. Is manzil se ab akele chale jayenge am. From this manzil and from this station now onwards, I am going to be on my own. And we forget that فإذا حملت إلى القبور جنازة فعلم بأنك بعدها محمول. That today if I am carrying someone on my shoulders, then tomorrow I am also going to be carried. How many times have we contemplated on this when we're going to the Qabrastan? Unfortunately, our worldly talks continue. In the Qabrastan, the person is being buried. We've got no time to contemplate and think. We're thinking, okay, this person. One person was asked that whose janaza is this? Whose janaza is this? So the person replied abruptly, it is your janaza. And if you dislike that, then it is my janaza. It is your janaza. And if you don't like that, then I tell you it is your janaza, then it is my janaza. What was the message that he was giving? He said, this person is gone, is gone. Contemplate and think about your death. Tomorrow I am going to be in the same position. And what is going to happen to me? What is this qabr going to be? Is it going to be a pit from the pits of Jahannam, or is it going to be a garden from the gardens of Jannat? Is there going to be any light in it? My Hazrat Shaykh Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to speak about the qabr, and used to talk about the emergency lights. You know, when we have emergency lights, when the electricity goes out, then immediately the light comes on. You know, when they are connected, those that have the batteries, rechargeable batteries and all. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that similarly, when these eyes close and when we have to be put into that qabr, then those emergency lights must come on. The light of our salah, the noor of our roza, the noor of our charity, the noor of the good, that immediately all that will come, and then it will become a means of protection, and it becomes a place for us to rest. It becomes a resting place for us. It becomes a garden from the gardens of Jannah. That is, if we engage in those types of amal and actions in this world. So however, Imam Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions that yudfinun wa la ya'tabirun, that we will bury our dead, but we will take no lesson, no ibrat from it. And the fifth thing that Imam Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions, something that is very, very, it's a critical thing, because our minds will never go to that in a hurry. Our minds will never go towards it. And he says, ya'kulun wa la yashkurun. Ya'kulun wa la yashkurun. They will eat. They will eat the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they will not make shukr to Allah ta'ala for that ni'mat of His. Now, will I ever think that if I'm eating and I'm not making shukr to Allah ta'ala, that is a sign of a weak heart or a defective heart? I won't even think. Now, these are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with that insight. And if we broaden this, then we think that whatever ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, the different types of ni'mat, if we have to just enumerate the ni'mat and the bounties and the favors of Allah Ta'ala, forget the worldly benefits and the worldly ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has got. Just look at our bodies itself, for every limb and for the different systems in the body to be functioning correctly. For a little while, a person's system inside, either the digestive system or the nervous system, goes haywire, and then what happens to the person? Becomes restless. Person sometimes gone insane. He's gone mad. He's been taken to the asylum. Now just those systems are gone a little this way, that way. Now every system that we've got and every limb that we've got, if we have to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, will we be able to make shukr? But to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for the ni'mah that, ya Allah, I'm grateful to, for the ni'mas that you have bestowed me with. So as Imam Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali mentions, that using the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then not being grateful to Allah ta'ala for the ni'mas, that is also a sign of a defective heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the hidayat and the guidance to understand these things, to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under all circumstances, and to make an attempt to purify this heart and to rectify this heart and take out those evils, and as we call them, the razail, the evil instinct, the evil qualities from inside, and replace them with the fazail, or with good qualities, with good sifat, and then become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be drawn towards Allah ta'ala, be drawn towards Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim, wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amin ya rabbil alameen. Bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi. Oh, shit.